The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's Church on this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The readings continue to focus on the return of Christ. Today we especially look at what will be the sign of his coming. This morning, Mel Beisiegel passed away, entered eternal rest. So we include Gloria and the family in our prayers this day. I just came from the care center and spent a little bit of time with the family this morning. And Gloria did have enough warning that she was able to be there for the end. Do sign up in the Narthex for poinsettias. That's the next couple of weeks. We include the two more weeks that you have opportunity to do that. Our building loan is paid off. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's a big deal. We thank the Lord for his goodness and you for your generosity in making that possible. There's a task force being formed to plan how we might start a school of music in our congregation. Once their work is finished, then we can make an informed decision as a congregation whether we want to go forward with that or not. So we need people for that with expertise in business, in organization, finance, and of course music also. So if you have any of those expertises and you would be willing to help out, let Dennis, our congregational president, know, please. There's also a survey about our building expansion. Jamie's going to tell us about that.
Fill it out and turn it in, and that gives us, as the exploratory committee, kind of more of a focus area when we do come to looking at whether or not we should expand, and then what areas, you know, if it comes to what we can afford to expand and focus on that. And thank you very much. There's a box out there to place them in as you allow. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanksgiving Eve worship is in a week and a half, Wednesday, November 27th. That is at 7:15 p.m., and you're welcome to bring goods for the Freeburg or Seminary food bank for those. Other announcements. I know Monica's got one.
Today, as a reminder, if you're free at St. Stephen's Catholic Church, which is in Caseyville, right down there on the main drag, from 1 to 3 is a luncheon, chili and salads, free will offering. But the great news is so many pro-life organizations in the Southern Illinois District and Missouri are coming to speak. And these are people who've been fighting the pro-life cause for many years. Coalition for Life speaker will be there, Mosaic, there's the adoption agencies, 40 Days for Life, High Schoolers for Life, I'll be speaking, that'll be the worst part of it, Bell Area Right to Life, March for Life, Pregnancy Care Center, Defenders for the Unborn, Students from Life from SIU Edwardsville. They'll be short talks, but it'll be really informational. It would be really helpful if you could come. And if you're not able to come, there's somewhat of a duplicate event, not all the same speakers, Thursday night at 6:30 at Edgemont Bible Church. They're just hosting the event. It'll be a similar kind of thing. It starts at 6:30. However, they are asking for an RSVP. So if you're interested, and you sent that out by email, right?
I did, but if you don't get email, see Monica so that you can get the RSVP number for that,
yeah,
for the one on Thursday at Edgemont.
Enough's enough. So it's pretty exciting. So if you guys
want to
join us today or Thursday, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. Sue?
The other email I'd like to to thank everyone that donated food and our supplies for yesterday. We had probably 35 to 40 people here decorating. We did 150 stockings. And we got a lot of compliments on how things went. So just thank you very much. And later, we will stuff those stockings. We'll do it during the week sometime. So if anybody would like to help us with that, let us know and we'll keep in contact with you.
And thanks to you, Sue, and to Rose for all of your organizing work on that. Any other announcements? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on our worship this day and know that He will bless us as He comes to us in His word, in His supper, giving us the signs of the end and preparing us for the end. The Divine Service, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Kyrie, page 186. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given us exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath upon this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
There will be signs and sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Apostles' Creed, page 192. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear as judge whom God appointed. Then fright shall banish idle mirth, and flames on flames shall ravage earth, as Scripture long has warned us. The final trumpet then shall sound, and all the earth be shaken, and all who rest beneath the ground shall from their sleep awaken. But all who live will in that hour guide God's almighty boundless power, be changed at his commanding. The books are open then to all, a record truly telling, and mouth great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart be clearly seen, and all be known as they have been, in thoughts and words and actions. Then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command, to Satan be delivered. My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation. May Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free, with all who life inherit.
Open your lips and your mouth and declare your praise. Grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke chapter 21. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our soon to return Lord, Jesus Christ. So the disciples stand outside the temple, and they marvel at the size of the stones there. I'm told that some of the stones were almost as large as this side wall of the church, all the way from the front to the back of the church. Thicker than that, but about as tall and as long. And see why they marveled at the size. Jesus doesn't seem to be as awed. The day is coming, he tells them, when every stone in this temple will be thrown down. And thrown down does not mean it'll wear away slowly. It means something catastrophic is going to happen. Well, when will this happen? The disciples want to know. What will be the sign? How will we know that day is near? And Jesus gives us a whole list of things. Jesus warns us. For instance, Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles, by unbelievers. And it happened just 30 years after Jesus spoke these words, actually less than 30 years after Jesus spoke these words. Some Jews revolted against Rome. Rome sent in the general Titus, and he ransacked the entire temple, not one stone left upon another. All that was left was one retaining wall. Still there today, if you go. The Jews call it the Wailing Wall. But it's not part of the temple. It was a retaining wall beside the temple. Every stone of the temple was thrown down, just like Jesus said. And that was after the Romans had laid siege to the city of Jerusalem for 5 months. I'm guessing that's why Jesus warns women who are pregnant and nursing, because their children are likely to die from starvation in the siege. I'm guessing this is also why he says, if you're in the city, get out. And if you're outside the city, don't go in. That's backwards of the way people usually did it. If an enemy were attacking you, you'd run into the city where the walls keep you safe. But Jesus seems to be suggesting far better to be attacked by the enemy outside than to die of starvation inside. And if unbelievers are going to ransack the city of God, and even worse, the temple of God, should it come as any surprise that evildoers also are ransacking Christian churches today? It's already happening in some nations of the world. Maybe it'll happen in ours too. But the greatest destruction of all, Jesus suggests, isn't what unbelievers inflict. It's what God himself is going to bring on the last day. The day is coming, Malachi tells us, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble, cut down, like crops at the harvest with nothing left but a little stub. That day is coming when everything will be incinerated. That destruction is God's judgment on humanity. But that destruction is also God's love for humanity, because he knows that we can't enjoy creation the way he intended for us to enjoy it unless he annihilates everything that exists now and starts all over from scratch. It won't do any good to annihilate almost everything that exists here. The flood at Noah's time proved that. That didn't solve the problem of sin. And you'll notice that when Jesus starts listing all these signs of the end, he includes events that have already happened, like the destruction of the temple. He includes some events that are happening now, wars, famines, pestilences. And he includes some things that have not yet occurred. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and the Son of Man returning. In other words, the end has begun, but it hasn't yet come to its completion. But the fact that it has begun is pretty clear from the signs. For instance, many will come in my name saying, I am he. There will be people claiming to be the Messiah, like David Koresh. There will be people coming and saying, the time is at hand, like Harold Camping, who predicted this world's going to end in 1994 and then two more times in 2011 before he finally said, oh, well, I guess the Bible says we don't know the time or the place. See that you are not led astray, Jesus warns you and me. Do not tire of learning your Lord's word, so that you can identify those false teachers when they come. Be regularly in Bible study. One of our members one time was watching some of these teachers on television or the internet or maybe both. And they sounded pretty biblical. In fact, they were pretty biblical for the most part. But he didn't have the scriptural grounding to identify when they ceased being biblical and started leading him astray. And a crisis of faith resulted for him. Don't let that happen to you. Jesus says there will be wars, and there have been probably every day on the earth since Jesus spoke those words. He says there will be tumults, that is, disorder, things that just aren't the way they're supposed to be. Like Mel dying, like marriages falling apart, like troubles in your life, like the state of Illinois. Do you know that right now there are school districts in Illinois that have opened female locker rooms and restrooms to people who are biologically males? That's just not right. In the state of Illinois has passed what is probably the most grievous abortion law in the entire nation. In the state of Illinois, you have to have a doctor's permission. You have to have your parents' permission to take a Tylenol at school. But you can go get an abortion without your parents ever knowing about it. You would expect abortion clinics to be unsafe for unborn children, but in the state of Illinois, they're also unsafe for the mothers because no inspections are required of any abortion clinic in the United States any longer. I'm sorry, in the Illinois any longer. In the United States, they are other places, but not in Illinois. The person performing the abortion does not have to be a medical doctor. If a woman dies as a result of a botched abortion, the coroner is not expected to go and investigate. We wouldn't want to have any abortionists held accountable for their actions. Notice that this is not what could happen. This is already what is law since June in the state of Illinois. This is tumult. Things that just are not right. Jesus gives us those as signs of the end. Says there will also be earthquakes. There are. famines there are, pestilences, those are epidemics like dengue fever in Southeast Asia, Ebola in the Congo, and right here in the United States, measles outbreaks, salmonella outbreaks, maybe even you would call all the injuries to lungs as a result of vaping to be an epidemic, a pestilence, a sign of the end. And when you see all those horrible signs that the end is coming, what does Jesus tell you to do? To be scared? Really scared? Nope. He says, don't be terrified. Yeah, the universe will be annihilated, but that is a reason for us Christians to rejoice. Maybe today. Maybe today Jesus will return. Maybe today Jesus will set everything right. Maybe today he will finish that new creation he began by dying in your place, by rising so that you, your body can rise, by ascending into heaven to prepare a place for you, by sending you his spirit, by baptizing you into his death and resurrection to make you his child. Yet the end is something we celebrate as Christians. Psalm 96, we sang it. He comes to judge the earth. Uh-oh. Should we be afraid? Nope. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice that he is coming. It says, our first reading said, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when everything's going to be incinerated. And on that day, you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Seen calves? When they're let out into the pasture, they run, they leap. They skip new sights, new smells, new experiences, excitement. That's what it is for us as Christians when Jesus returns. So when life gets difficult here, and it likely will, Jesus says they will lay their hands on you and they will persecute you. You will be hated, he tells the apostles, by all for my name's sake. And they were hated, they were persecuted. 10 of them were executed for their faith. And dear Christians, you have the name of Jesus on you. You've been baptized with that name. And so when you stand firm for your faith, you should expect persecution also. People to roll their eyes, think you're old-fashioned when you stand up. When you say Jesus is the only way to heaven because he's the only one that's removed the sin that would keep us out of heaven, they're going to call you arrogant, insensitive, and bigoted. You suggest that abortion is murder, you'll probably be called one filled with hate. Although it looks to me like if you kill helpless children, don't ensure the safety of the mothers, and refuse even to make sure that abortionists are prosecuted whenever they kill a mother. That looks like hate to me. But we're the ones that are called haters. I suspect the day will come, maybe in my lifetime, almost certainly in my children's lifetime, when if we take a stand for what we believe, we Christians are going to be arrested and brought before, as Jesus says, kings and governors, or in our case, it'll probably be courts and judges. Maybe I'll be arrested for preaching the gospel, but I have a suspicion it's more likely that I'll be arrested for preaching the law, for calling sin, sin. It already happens in Canada. It won't be long before it's in the United States. In 2003, I preached on this text, and this is what I said. Quote, those of you who are employers may be arrested for refusing to fund abortions with the health insurance you provide for your employers. Had no idea that in 6 years it would already be illegal to provide health insurance that does not include abortions. If you are an artist, a musician, a florist, a baker, it's entirely possible that you will be arrested if you refuse to provide services that are against your conscience, for instance, for a gay wedding. You want to avoid trouble? Just compromise with the culture. Everything will be fine. Act like you do not care about your Lord or his words. But if you will not confess your Lord before men, do not expect him to confess you before his Father who is in heaven. On the flip side, when you do confess your Lord before your Father is in heaven, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not either be weary in doing, become weary of doing good, as our epistle said. Why? Well, because even when the world is falling apart, even when you're persecuted, Jesus says, not a hair of your head will perish. Mind you, he says that right after he says that some of his apostles will be killed for defending their faith. But he says, not a hair of your head will perish. It's true, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord who promised that is not in the grave any longer. This is why we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. You have been baptized, dear Christians, into Jesus' resurrection. So not a hair of your head or any of the rest of your body will perish, not permanently. There's a resurrection waiting for you. So do not be terrified if, or even more likely, when you are asked to endure persecution for Jesus. Do not be afraid if they arrest you. Jesus says this is your opportunity to bear witness. Because people expect you to compromise with the culture, but when you allow yourself to be insulted, when you allow yourself to be arrested, when you even put your life at risk, they start to wonder, I wonder what motivates this person. And you get to say, I'm a sinner who's been redeemed by Jesus, and so are you. This is the Jesus who is coming, who's already come, and who's coming again to get rid of sin, to get rid of persecution, to get rid of all the abnormalities on this earth, to allow us to live forever with him. So go ahead, you can kill me. But I'm going to then have a life even better than I have now. I'll skip like a calf going into the field. Bring it on, devil. Bring it on, world. You cannot defeat me, because my Lord Jesus has already redeemed me at the cross, and he's about to finish that work of redemption. The signs say it. When you see the signs of the end, when you feel the persecution that comes to Christians who remain faithful, do what Jesus invites you to do. Do not despair. And do not be terrified. Instead, he says, straighten your backs, raise your head, take courage, because the one who died to pay your debt, the one who rose so that you will rise, the one who has ascended and promises to bring you where he is, the one who is coming again soon to take you back, that one, he says, the signs are quite clear. Your redemption is drawing near. Rejoice in the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 192.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Thank you.
We stand for prayer. Holy God, mighty Lord, as we wait for your Son's return, hear our prayers and grant us everything necessary for our spiritual and physical lives. Lord, we rejoice that you have bared your mighty arms to come down and save us sinners. Deliver your church from all her enemies and those who battle against your word. Raise up faithful pastors. Turn those who do not teach your truth to you. Bring to faith those who do not believe. Bless those preparing to be pastors, teachers, deaconesses, and DCEs in your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you, Lord, for redeeming us through the blood of Jesus. Sustain us through our fears and trials as we wait for his return. Keep Ron, Diane, and all of your baptized people faithful to the end. Enable us to live lives of love and care for all people. Give us courage to stand for what is good and right and to speak boldly about our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the church, thank you for your abundant blessings that have permitted the Christ our Savior family to pay off our building loan. We ask that you would direct our upcoming decisions about the possible construction and a possible school of music to serve you and your people in our community. Guide our church leaders. Grant them strength for their work. Grant your blessings also to St. Mark, Zion, and our Savior churches. Lead them to faithfulness toward you and love for people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, your Son will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Until then, provide us with government leaders who serve your purposes, defend civil rights, punish evildoers, promote justice, and encourage virtue. Give them and us also a heart for those who cannot defend themselves, including the unborn and the aging. Provide wisdom and justice to the congressmen who are considering impeachment. Raise up civil leaders who work for peace and for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, you promise to be with us in all adversity. Give comfort and peace to Donna's family and to Gloria and all of Mel's family as they mourn. Be with those who are affected by the school shooting. Come to the aid of Sue, Holly, Joshua, Hope, Ed, the Martinez family, Clem, Nina, Roger, Oris, Beth, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Sherry, Charlie, Herb, Parker, and Reagan. Be with those whose bodies or minds need healing. Grant them trust in you, patience, and an end to their affliction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, deliver us from fear when we see the signs of the end, but do not let us take them lightly. Remind us that when nations rage against your church and your people, it is our opportunity to give witness to your promises that do not change and to the hope that you provide for us in Christ Jesus. Sustain each of us as you sustained our brothers Wally and Mel, whose faith and lives we remember today. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, O Lord, for the gift of family, and we pray that you would bless the homes in which your people dwell. Make them to be places of blessing and peace, where your word is central and where the Christian faith is taught and lived and passed on to children and grandchildren. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, thank you for the gift of Christ's flesh and blood offered for the life of the world. As we come to his table together, bless us with unity of faith and harmony in our doctrine and life. By this blessed sacrament, equip us with all the gifts of the Spirit so that all people may see by the way we live our faith in you and our love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, you promise never to abandon us and always to provide all that we need for life here and life eternally until our Savior returns. Hear our prayers then because of the sacrifice of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly
meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, oh, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
See the signs of the end, rejoice. Your redemption is drawing near. Go in peace. Yeah.
and see, the Lord is free.
Darkness, all you children of the day, startled at the solemn warning,
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.